All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I am here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Chuck, did you breakfast?
You know it. I had my son today, so I had to go pick him up at the old ex-wife's house. So, you know what that means.
That means you got in your car.
I got in my car and I stopped at a gas station.
Oh.
You know what's on the way between my house and my son? Broasters.
Broasters.
Hit me up some Broasters. Got me a breakfast, basically platter. They gave me a tenderloin biscuit.
Is this the Uncle Herschel's ripoff? Do they have a name for it?
It's not a real platter. It was just three biscuits wrapped in aluminum foil.
Do they know you put it on a plate? Do they know you by a name or maybe an alias that you use?
I tend not to make any eye contact and pay only in cash.
I just use aliases.
Do you?
Places I'm embarrassed.
Hmm.
If they have to call out your name.
What's your go-to alias name?
Marlon or Orson.
I love those. You do look like
Orson is particularly apt.
You do look like an old Orson Welles.
It's John Spirals in his late life.
You guys do know I have capes in my possession. I have jackets with tiny. Are they called capelets when they're small?
He has a snow.
There's got to be a better name, but if you don't know it, I certainly don't.
He has a snow sled named Rosebud.
I'm never sledding again.
Did I just make a movie reference?
That's a spoiler.
You made a movie spoiler reference to a movie you have never seen?
I have seen that movie.
What?
It's Citizen Kane. You have to see it.
I'm pretty sure the only movie you've seen are Scarface and Friday.
I was going to say Friday.
I can quote Goodfellas with the best of them.
Oh, that is true. That is true. For breakfast, I had the eternally dissatisfying grapefruit with no sugar.
To try to assault or slow the Wellesian decline.
You want to the web of deceit I weave in the morning.
I assume
hopping out of bed as if I'm going to stay up in front of my partner.
Yeah,
as if I'm going to stay up all day and have a productive day. Eat the grapefruit. Wait till she leaves and go right back to bed.
Yeah.
Until, thank God she doesn't listen.
Well, at least you're not like, and then I vomit up the grapefruit and go to Dunkin' Donuts.
It could be so much worse.
I had a very healthy breakfast. I had a cereal of five ancient grains.
What?
Sorghum, flax, millet, two others.
Sorghum's a grain?
I didn't know any of these.
I think sorghum is like a molasses type saw.
Officially, I don't know what any of the words were listed under the grains. I'm pretty sure that's what they were. But here's the thing. It was actually baby food.
Oh.
Wow.
It's like oatmeal. It's like you mix it with milk and you make the cereal. So this morning, I misunderstood a text from my wife.
You're one step away from drinking breast milk.
We've passed that stage. I'm just telling you, his food is so healthy and it's here and I don't have food in the house for myself.
I've been known to eat a pouch of my son's food. I mean,
it's good. It's more expensive than other food.
It really is. Lord. I think it breaks down to like $47 a pound.
Yeah. Baby food is like adult food that just costs way more.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so this was I misunderstood a text from the wife. And I was mixing little Buddy Bunger, his cereal, and then when I was going to feed it to him, he looked at me like I was a fool. Like he didn't open his mouth.
Right.
And I was like, "You don't want you love your gross five ancient grain cereal. It tastes like dirt."
Sure.
I got like without exaggeration, it tastes like your sweat when you're mowing the grass. Like it literally tastes like the ground.
It's astronaut food mixed with poo.
Right. But so then when little guy looked at me with like confused eyes and not open mouth, I looked at the text and she's like, "Oh, he's already had his cereal. I just need to give." But so then I'd already made this bowl of the five ancient grains.
So you just housed it.
Well, I'm like, there's poor people in the world. And I know this is expensive, stupid food. It's like, a $2 bowl of grass.
I buy 1B of what you said. I don't buy 1A, though.
What was the 1A?
There's poor people in the world. I don't think that crossed your mind.
Yeah. Well, I was like, well, I'll eat this. This will go with it. So I guess I got some good nutrients. Help me grow.
Ancient nutrients.
Ancient, seriously, words I never heard of. All right, anyway.
They found those in the stores of the pyramids.
Right. So those were our breakfasts. After our breakfasts, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our opportunity to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I'm going to apologize not for any errors I've made, but for a grievous error that the All-Star Committee hath made. Boban Marjanovic is not on the world team in the Rising Stars game.
You want to talk about the Rising Stars challenge?
I am.
There are multiple. There's a handful of issues with the.
Well, listen, this is a litany of errors. Boban's not on it. You know who is playing center for the world team? Carl Anthony Towns. He plays on the Dominican national team.
No, he's on the U.S. team.
He is. No, he's on the Dominican. He's on the world team, isn't he?
You are confused.
I am.
Because
confused.
You're smart.
Right. Okay.
So this is one of the big problems. The global team is kind of soft.
Yeah, and Carl Anthony Towns was born in Jersey.
There's some Raul Netos on the team. Which, I mean, I don't think there's guys left off the U.S. team that you'd like to see. Devin Booker is not on the team. Justice Winslow is not on the team. Tyler Johnson also not on the team. So these are all the guys I would like to see. Carl Anthony Towns is on the U.S. team, even though he plays for the Dominican team. They had a chance to put Porzingis and Towns on the same team, and they messed up.
And come on.
And we're stuck with some weaker.
Where is my Boban?
To be fair.
And I will say, I mean, Boban barely plays. I know he's entertaining.
I want Boban in the damn skills challenge, which I think they got rid of.
I don't even want Saturday.
Let's have a Boban skills challenge.
I think
challenge.
Saturday night is just like Tracy McGrady and WNBA player try half-court shots. Isn't that what they've turned the Saturday night into?
You mean the Chris Bosh, Swin Cash
unstoppable
shot.
Yeah, the unstoppable buzzsaw.
Game of horse.
The Miami Heat of the win.
I just like watching Kevin Hart play in the celebrity game.
A lot of people, I like Michael Rappaport myself. A lot of people were really
when you say like, I assume the opposite is what you mean.
A lot of people were disappointed by that Spurs-Warriors game because of the lopsided score nature. I was just disappointed that Boban only got 13 minutes.
It's pretty sad.
That was the last 13 minutes?
I wanted a lot more Boban.
So you're apologizing on behalf of the committee selecting.
That I am.
I feel like it was kind of weird. I missed the rookie sophomore. I understand why Adam Silver and his global domain expansion.
It all goes back to eugenics.
It does go back to
New World Order.
New World Order he's pushing. I will apologize to my co-host John here.
Uh-oh.
Last week when we were naming our all-star reserves, I'm afraid I didn't listen very well.
Oh.
So I want to
coming after me off for Rondo?
I want to apologize, John. Because listening is just not waiting for someone to stop talking so then you can talk.
That's true.
It's actually hearing what they're saying.
Yeah.
Keith's growing.
My ears were, I would say, stopped up like Carl Madman Munch from Barton Fink.
Oh, hey. Is that a
movie?
Or perhaps like the protagonist himself was deaf to what the common man was actually saying.
Absolutely.
So
I will show you the life of the mind.
Exactly. So I will say when John read through his Arsenal reserves, it blew right past me that he said Rajon Rondo, and I heard, and Derek Favors got stuck in my head.
I blew you away with two stupid names.
You blew me away with two incredibly weird.
Derek
All-Star
Favors
selections.
Was the Trojan horse that I sent Rajon Rondo
and
into.
And it works. And I realized that I didn't even realize you'd said it until like 8 minutes later when you were wrapping up. And I was like, what? You said Rondo?
Rondo needs another apology. They took away his damned triple double recently. He's having a hell of a season.
Yeah.
Hell of a fantasy season.
So here's my...
What's your apology,
Here's
Chuck?
My apology. I'm going to apologize on behalf of the city, or you know what, the franchise of the Cleveland Cavaliers, to David Blatt, who was just fired.
That's big of you.
In a what would be considered ridiculous fashion, 30 and 11.
Anti-Semitic fashion.
Some could call it very...
I don't want to bring global politics.
I'd call it more of a Comic Sans fashion.
It is. It is just another wonderful, awful thing that has happened. He's the best record in Cavaliers history.
Edging out Mike Brown?
Edging out Mike Brown by just a few games. But basically, both of the greatest coaches in Cavaliers history have been fired.
What are the LeBron adjusted stats for that? Is it just Mike Fratello? Did he? The coaching from?
He was on. Had the best record in the East. He won the games. He did what was asked to do. What he was asked to do, and was
but
still
did
fired.
He cut up LeBron's food for him.
That is the real question.
True or false, though, he was making more split second hard decisions than a fighter pilot.
And any given
I don't
day.
Know. I'm not ready to make a decision there. It's too close to tell.
We're going to need to see all the facts when they're released later.
So
Who coaches the All-Star game now?
That is the strangest,
LeBron.
Hilarious.
Duh. Is LeBron going
to? Yeah, because he was coaching the Cavs in the finals. He was calling plays and having Blatt erase his whiteboard in game five and drop another play because he wanted. You don't remember that? Yeah. He was barking at him at the sidelines. Mark Stein wrote all about it. Now,
I think
it's funny that we get so mad at LeBron over it when this used to happen. You know, Magic Johnson pretty much killed Westhead, and then Westhead or Westfall?
Westfall. Fall. Head.
Head.
Westhead.
Westhead.
Westfall was the college guy. Yeah. Loyola or whatever.
No.
Westfall is the Suns.
Westfall was the Suns.
Oh, yeah.
Westhead was it. We got it right.
Okay.
our listeners know, just want us to move on.
But, and then, you know, Larry Bird probably killed a few coaches in his time, you know, and was well known. And it was admirably thought of when he would, you know, just tell Casey, you know, just give me the damn ball. Stuff like that. But now, vilified. I guess it's just the world we live in.
Just more exposure.
I know it. I know.
There's pros and there's cons.
There is. I think ultimately, you know, you have something there where LeBron was brought in after the coach was brought in and he was given that contract. Blatt was given, you know, a team that he thought was going to be a young rebuild project and then a top-heavy contender with a bunch of, you know, all-stars. It's a different kind of thing, and it didn't work out. But I just think Blatt was given no chance from the minute LeBron was signed.
Dude's having some rough luck, too. Canceled right before he's about to coach his first All-Star game.
Mm-hmm. The All-Star game is a weird thing.
Right.
The idea of two guys who haven't really coached this year.
And his natural falling spot, which is the Timberwolves, because Flip wanted to hire him as an assistant before he got that job. Well, Flip is dead.
Right.
So he probably isn't going to just fall right into that job.
And they seem... I know Timberwolves fans are, like, really nervous that Sam Mitchell's going to stick around. Like,
they're going to stick around because he played on the Timberwolves forever and ever, and he's beloved.
They love him, but... Yeah. Oh. I know the fans are freaking out.
Yeah.
I think diehards are freaking out.
I know we're getting a little scattered, but there's been some little sounds of distress. Some anonymous Timberwolf player quotes about being concerned about the way the team is going. We'll save that for scattered, smothered, covered. That did. So, Chuck, are you finished? You're just apologizing.
Yeah, I'm sorry for David Blatt, even though I'm speaking out both sides of my mouth, because one point I was Chuck calling you
specialty.
An overrated nothing from an unproven part of the world.
Don't put down the whole part of the world, maybe. Chuck.
Well, basketball.
That makes you no better than LeBron.
Basketball wise,
you talking jive about the Maccabi games?
I'm just saying. It's different from control. Having the control of those players in those leagues is different from controlling the top of.
It's a little different when you don't have to be horrifically terrified of your players who all make more money than you.
Right,
it's true.
All right, so those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Moving on, what was the best thing you saw in the last week? What is your steak and eggs best thing?
You guys are talking crap about Rondo, but I saw something in the Atlanta Kings game where the Hawks and the Kings were closing out. Hawks were down by 3 and they were trying to inbound the ball. Rondo called out the last play and sent Boogie into a corner with no players. He basically shooed him over there, said, get over there. And Paul Millsap ended up coming around on a curl and breaking up the play. It was a beautiful, you know, basketball moment. And I just thought, you know, that's really great leadership, a wonderful eye, great IQ, and super, that's my best. I thought it was wonderful.
Rondo's having a great year. He's got 3 more assists per game than the next closest guy. I would venture to say he's having a much better year than Keith's reserve Blake Griffin.
just to bring that up.
Touche, I will now, I would like to amend my All-Star team. new facts have come to light.
Sacramento's, you know, not an awful team. They've, you know, scrapping for that last playoff spot in the West.
They're winning some games.
They lost to the Warriors by 12, which in any other year would mean they'd be in the finals. So they're, you know, the Sacramento's an actual, you know, thing. I like what George Karl's doing there.
Hell yeah, George Karl.
Maybe it isn't an unmitigated nightmare like we thought last year.
Speaking of the bottom, that playoff race in the West.
Ooh.
That goes to my best thing. My best thing is the Portland Trailblazers finding themselves. We're over halfway through the season. They find themselves in the 8th spot. And more importantly, what's the point of recording your opinions for everyone to hear them if you can't gloat when you're right?
Absolutely.
In our preseason predictions,
absolutely,
John and I were both very bullish on the crafty, the secret rebuild of that team. And I stated they were my dark horse playoff possible, a team with an over under of 26.
I can't believe this, what I'm saying. I'm a Stotts man now.
He's a good coach. I think he's a very good coach.
Colin Schatz, Colin Stotts. He's a good coach. And you know, he's really improved over the years. Because that team, he used to kind of run it kind of half-assedly, especially as far as team defense was concerned. They play pretty good team defense now.
And it's a team not built with the normal stretch fours and such. They have a front court of guys who just like to defend and try to get rebounds. And it's working because you have that back court that just fills it up.
I mean, it's still not always fun to watch them play because of the nature of their game.
Yeah, because they collapse a lot.
Right.
Like, when it gets off.
And there's just a lot of, like, you have to go through some amazing Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Myers Leonard droughts. But when it's good, and then,
I think the Myers Leonard drought might be somewhat over.
Yeah.
He started off his first maybe 35 games.
But another thing that we've learned to love about the Blazers is the Al-Farouq Aminu stat that has been created.
The Adolf. The Aminu dribbles off leg or foot.
Yes. That's a good thing to watch and look for.
It's a good thing. Yeah, shout out to power listener Matt Sullivan who brought the dribble off leg and foot to our attention.
Absolutely.
And that's when we created the next level, next generation stat.
Watch out for the super stat, the game-winning Adolf. Game-losing
Adolf. The game-losing Adolf. Exactly. You got a steak and eggs this week, John?
Mine's pretty large. I brought some largesse, perhaps even Orsonian.
Orsonian.
Or Marlonian.
I was going to say Orwellian. That was a mistake. Yeah.
This was a bit, perhaps not. Silver is watching.
As he does.
NBA Twitter.
Uh-oh.
You've been so good to us.
You just been feeling fond?
So good.
What do they do? Do they lift you up? What do they do?
LeBron's back to being the villain again.
Ah, yes.
Blake punching out a trainer named Testes.
Oh, classic.
And the subsequent conspiracy theory surrounding Blake and Mr. Testes.
Yep.
Because if you recall, Blake used to like rub his crotch in some staff member's face.
It was, I don't know.
Could that have been Mr. Testes? We'll never know.
I'm just saying the assault was 1 year to the day on the 1 year anniversary of him grabbing that guy's head and yanking his head towards his crotch on national TV.
You don't say.
To which Kevin Harlan said, don't do that. And, I mean, it's left poor Kevin.
Kevin Harlan. The straight man's Marv. The straight man's Marv. And last but definitely not least, and perhaps some people feel they're overly inundated with it, but crying Jordan face. Is there anything crying Jordan face can't fix?
Well, I am. I think I'm in favor of it. I know a lot of people hate it.
I love it.
They think they're very opposed, but the level of photoshopping
we're getting,
makes it really funny. Just tapping it on there doesn't give me a giggle, but when I see a perfectly photoshopped like Andy Reid.
Oh, yes.
I mean, not to cross our sports, but that just kills me.
My favorite was very David Blatt with LeBron with his arm around him, crying Michael Jordan.
I mean, keep up the good Photoshops, people.
Yeah. NBA Twitter's not always, a rose garden. Sometimes Kanye will turn NBA Twitter into a bunch of hieroglyphics. But, I mean, even that reminds me that, at least NBA Twitter is, kind of intertwined with, hip-hop music, whereas NFL Twitter, I feel like, is probably more intertwined with Dave Matthews Band or something. So at least it's with.
I've always thought it was stained.
Yes, it's something that goes. Ooh, ah, ah.
I was calling something like that. Service rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
service rock.
That's what I always called it.
Serviceable, as in serviceable.
No. As in like the arm services.
Oh yeah.
Like I call it service rock.
Oh man,
rock.
We used to have commander's calls in the military where they just showed video of our B-52 bombers destroying villages, and they would play. It was awful.
This is Chuck the Armed Forces.
I used to be in the military, and they would play the bodies hit the flow.
Bodies
at the flow.
That's dark.
I know. It was disgusting. And they got us riled up to go fix bombs that killed people or broke their shit.
All right. Those were our best things.
So much for steak and eggs.
The glorification of bombing takes us to our cream of wheat, worst of wheat.
More like Fat Man and Little Boy all of a sudden.
Yeah. What is your worst thing you saw? What is your cream of wheat, worst of week?
Let me go first because I got some vitriol.
Oh,
some bile to spew.
Bring it.
It's a cream of wheat specialist.
Yep.
The one, the only Byron Scott.
Mm. You ever been to the zoo?
Zoological enthusiast Byron Scott benched D'Angelo Russell for quote-unquote trying to take over the game. That's fine. You can bench someone if they're trying to do too much. However, quoth SAS, the British Armed Service, right, not right. Stephen A. Smith, you can't do it in favor of Nick Young and Lou Williams, mm-hmm. who are just going to do the exact same thing and yet have been in the league for, you know, forever. When you're trying to groom a new young player, let me specifically quote, I saw the last couple minutes that he was in that. He was really trying to take over the game, and that's not him yet, Scott said. I want the ball to move a little bit. I thought it stuck with him. He tried to make the big shots and things like that. I understand that, but to me, that's not him right now. And now I'm going to paraphrase. So I put in Nick Young and Lou Williams.
yeah. I think that's editorial bracket you're allowed to put right. that in.
I love the fact that he has confidence. When it gets to the point where it's cockiness, then we've got a problem.
I hope
this is the guy who lets Kobe Bryant do whatever he wants.
I hope. See, I've ceased the point of like I don't get up in arms over him. It's because it seems like he's just trolling us, and so with a troll, you have to just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he is.
Feed the troll. No,
he doesn't know he's doing it.
Are the reporters trolling us by even asking him?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, I know they I need can coffee. I can imagine being a Lakers fan and like wanting to burn down the Lakers practice, being so angry that like what it seems like he's doing.
Right. Russell's finally looked good.
I think it might be the stealthy tank. They know they have to tank, but they haven't told Byron Scott. They're like, Byron, you do you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but perhaps, but at what price victory? That doesn't really work here. At what price lottery? No. Because they are doing these young players a tremendous disservice.
So, I agree. So this is what I hope. I hope while Byron Scott's doing this, they're bringing in, you know, like maybe, I'm trying to think of a Laker who's a, Magic Johnson's too ridiculous. You can't take
AC Green.
Like a Michael Cooper's on the phone being
Michael
like,
Thompson.
You don't worry about it. But literally, like if they had someone just like Steve Nashian, who I know works for the Warriors now, or you know,
they got Bob Zachary. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
like someone telling them, hey, you're great. We're coaching you to do this. Ignore everything Byron Scott says.
Yeah, I think you could do like some
like you have to
inside man kind of stuff.
Yeah, you have to inside man coach him and give him some therapy and just like assuage their egos and like let them know, like build them up somewhat.
Right. Like, the wonderful part about all this is, you know, the team is built around a guy that does take over games, and that's
everything about it is absurd.
Everything about it is
Kobe
absurd.
Had a man get off of the bench in a uniform.
He's earned it. He told Larry to sit on the ground.
He told him to sit on the ground.
You sit on the ground.
Well, so I don't crease my shirt.
Larry Nance Jr. of all people.
The other funny thing about this Lakers thing and Kobe is how Kobe now doesn't really play home games.
Well, like, he's got to go on his victory lap.
Yeah, he goes on
get all those.
He plays on the
gift baskets.
But I mean, I can't hate him for that. I like the fact that he's making it a priority to be in the road gyms.
Yeah.
You know, because those people you assume are paying to see him.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, my worst of week goes to a referee.
Oh yes,
Zach Zarba dropping a Zar bomb.
Zarba the Greek.
I almost tweeted the Zar bomb, and then I thought no one would even enjoy it.
No, he hasn't reached the status yet.
So in Boogie Cousins going mano a mano with the entire Charlotte Hornets team, in double overtime, Boogie has 56 points. Boogie is in the process of putting his 57th and 58th points through the bucket on a rebound putback when Zarba waves it off, gives him his sixth foul, responding to a Frank the Foreman Kaminsky flop. He fouls out Boogie Cousins in double overtime game, a man with 56 points.
To a rook.
He fouled him out. Okay, couple things.
This was things. I got a few things.
Got a couple things. First of all, this was the night of the huge Spurs Warriors drubbing that turned out not to be that big. And
thank God for that game.
I had been worried for days that I wouldn't make it to the end of the game because I'd be too sleepy.
Right.
That game starting at you know 9:40 Central time. So I actually had made it, and it was such a laugher, but I had found myself watching this very intriguing and entertaining Kings-Hornets game.
Yeah, Chuck and I watched at a bar, and that game rescued us.
So mm-hmm. I'm in bed now with my iPad, watching my league pass.
Nice.
When Zarba fouls out Boogie, I'm out. I don't even want, like, I missed the final Troy Daniels heroics to win it. Because I was really like, you know what? I'll just find out who won in the morning. Like, I cannot believe he fouled him out. So
28 points for TD.
So I looked this up because I saw someone tweeted, how many people have ever been fouled out with 56 points?
I think that's it.
So I looked it up thanks to Basketball Reference. Since 83-84, as far back as the foul keeping goes, it's the second most points to have a foul out. The highest points...
Had to be like a triple overtime game or something.
It was a triple overtime game.
The Suns...
It was Kobe Bryant.
Oh, wow.
Had 58 points. He fouled out with 30 seconds left in this triple overtime game on a charging foul.
Are you sure that he wasn't taken out of the game for trying to take over the game?
He definitely was not. So this was interesting. It was a triple overtime game against the Charlotte Bobcats. But anyway, so... I like to think that these referees, you know, like they have their own little side bets, their own side games.
Donaghy.
And they have these own, maybe the little scorecards.
Donaghy.
Kind of like Xbox experience points, those little points you get for like unlocking random things.
Achievement unlocked, you just fouled out a dude with 60 points.
I think.
It's like dickhead bingo.
You're like, what kind of stones does it take to foul out a man with 56 points?
It's a notch in his
Zarba
belt.
Went to the referee that bar that night, and he's like, I bagged a 56-pointer. And they were like, oh, Zach Zarba! I think he had a wild night
in
Sacramento.
The Greek did it again. You're a legend, Greek.
So that's my worst. You can't foul a man out with a soft foul like that.
Chuck, should we even do your worst?
What's your worst?
You guys know what my worst is, right? You guys know where I was probably going with all this stuff this week. You know, we had a great week for a guy who hates LeBron James. Everybody knows that he has been involved in the center of a ridiculous coach firing that we all already went into detail with. But really, my worst of the week is LeBron's ability to lead and or follow.
Inability, I think you should say.
Or inability, really. he isn't very good at either of the things, I think, from the evidence that I've seen.
He's good at making it to the finals.
He is good at making it to the finals. He is a all-time generational great. He is not good at leading or following.
Getting a little choked up there?
I am.
You seem pretty upset about this.
Well, somebody has been known to get upset via text.
Chuck? Are you scorned?
Yeah.
Is this? It's been a while.
I haven't had one of these in a long time.
It's been over a year.
I think I have some.
You have a scorned. This is a scorned Heat fan. Text a friend. These are actual texts that Chuck has sent to John or myself. What do you got?
Woj bomb. David Blatt fired.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha.
Tyronn Lue?
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha.
Et tu, Brute?
Et tu, Ty Lue?
Have you climaxed?
Tweet from Windhorst. How surprised were Cavs players today? When team meeting was called, some players speculated Kevin Love had been traded.
Jesus.
Chuck sends GIF of George Jefferson dancing. And there you have it. That was a scorned Heat fan texts a friend. That was an actual text with multimedia conversation that we had on the Fast Break Breakfast text group.
We made it.
These are good.
We made it back to ground zero, Chuck. That's kind of how Chuck and I became friends.
No, this whole podcast started from our Heat, my Heat fan ridiculousness.
Start on a bet?
It did. It started on a bet if LeBron would come back to Miami.
I told Chuck, I gave Chuck good odds, too.
He did.
I said, LeBron is going home, son.
That is good. I don't think we've ever told the exact, real briefly, the 30-second history of how we got together.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you guys got together kind of through texting.
Well,
or,
no.
Or y'all met in person.
We met in person at a comedy show.
Okay.
He saw me do comedy.
But then you got the NBA texting going.
Yeah, and I started giving him shit about LeBron's never coming back. And we would just go on forever. And so you've never seen anyone more confident.
I didn't think there was no way. Why would he go to this terrible organization?
Exactly. we've already covered that. But then Chuck and John are friends, and I'd known John for a bit, but we actually started like a pen pal relationship of just texting about the NBA. Like we didn't hang out in person, and we just had a pen pal of like the texting, and then we decided we should do the podcast, and then he introduced me to Chuck.
It was an epistolary romance.
Exactly. Was very, very.
I don't know what that means.
Very letters.
Oh, like a letters. Like an epistle, like an epistle.
Yeah.
Like
look from at you.
There you go.
St. Paul.
I love it when I can watch the gears move and your tiny little mind.
That Catholic school paid off right there. But then, yeah, then we got together, and actually, still, I would say the one fun thing we didn't tell our listeners about our Memphis trip, that was the first time I'd ever seen you guys on consecutive days.
Welcome to hell, Keith.
Exactly. It was eye-opening.
I have the exact opposite thing where if I don't see Chuck in consecutive days, I text and ask him if everything is okay.
If everything's okay.
John also has a thing where every time I change my Facebook profile picture to one of me and my son, he assumes I did something awful the day before.
Yeah, I go, Chuck, what did you do?
That is funny. And so what is also funny about us is we actually hardly ever watch basketball together.
No.
But
Chuck and I do.
We are. I'm saying is a threesome. Three, like we've only done it a couple times. But now we've done it in person at a Lucuzzi's game.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done it. And we're doing it again. Actually, this is a wayward way of getting to the announcement. On Thursday night, if you hear this, hopefully Thursday morning or Thursday during the day, on Thursday night, we are doing an event. We're rabbling the Knicks Raptors game on TNT. So you go to Rabble.
Can't wait.
You go to rabble.tv or you go use the Rabble app and you can listen to us give our own commentary. It is unfiltered, uncensored. I don't give Chuck or John any. Well, I still give you some pointers on what things not to say.
Basically tells us don't talk about drugs and don't say anything that could be construed as racist.
Right.
And I do my very best, my level best.
We just try to go to the PC route, but anyway, more. But we are unfiltered.
Yeah, so check it out. The rabbling. I think it's going to sweep the nation.
And
imagine a world with no John Barry.
And I should also say, it's a live event. We're doing it in person, where you can come see us if you are in the Nashville area. It'll be at the Basement East Pub, and so you can actually come. That'll be at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. So come out and say hey. We'll give away some T-shirts. And we'll be doing that. It'll be a lot of fun.
You just go to the Basement East, and then you wander to the back.
That's
what you do.
The rest of you guys, check it out on the Rabble app. All right. Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. We talked about it. So the Blake Griffin thing.
Wild.
It is wild as a Grizzlies fan. Or
the schadenfreude is high.
Someone who does not like Blake Griffin. He's one of my least favorite players. Something about his attitude during games has always rubbed me the wrong way.
He's loathed by everyone except for ad execs.
Yeah, off the court, he seems really nice.
Affable.
Really affable and funny.
Poking holes in it.
Now off the court, not so much.
Until he starts whacking testes.
Until, as they say, until a dinner escalates.
Mm.
So now he's going to miss almost the entire season.
Hey, and it might not be that bad for the Clippers.
They are surprisingly good when he does not play.
What are they, 9-2?
I don't know what they'd won 9 in a row at one point. I have not checked my numbers in.
I mean, I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny that the organization isn't even savvy enough to cover it up, a la Kevin Love's knuckle push-ups, which apparently was a fight with some Vikings players, which I learned on an email thread today that was cool.
Yeah. I liked the actual Latrell Sprewell back in the day on the old Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
On his yacht, he had allegedly punched a wall trying to fight
someone. I call that the original sex boat.
It really was.
Latrell Sprewell having a yacht is one of the great things I've heard in my life.
Well, that's why I needed that big signing bonus. He had
so many yachts to feed.
Yeah. I mean, Blake Griffin is kind of, this isn't his first off the court thing. He was charged in Vegas for bitch slapping somebody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got...
That was the official... What is that, a 239?
Yeah.
Is that police?
It's a 239?
We
got a 239.
We have a black ginger male He might be white. Well, his hair is red. He has freckles. I think he's black. He's incredibly tall.
I like how you somehow put a Tennessee State Trooper.
Absolutely,
on the Vegas Strip. On the Vegas Strip.
Every creepy cop is from Tennessee.
I got a 239, and
I definitely watched that.
In a red jumpsuit.
some kind of real cop
driving a
Vegas the Strip on True TV.
Man, Blake, the only thing that brings me joy is looking at Blake Griffin and wondering how he exists, and then, like, sometimes they'll show his parents in the crowd, and then you're like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
That's good. So the All-Star starters, we guessed on them. We picked them last week. What do you guys think? I saw some people.
We were wrong.
We were vaguely wrong because some of the people who had those late pushes came through. But what do you guys think about the voting process? Does it bother you, the tweeting, or just the public vote?
I mean, so long as the reserves aren't touched by the public, I feel lucky.
Yeah, I will say I feel like it's annoying as a Twitter user.
Trust me, if the coach is picked, it would be just as bad.
I agree with
There'd be ridiculous stuff going down.
I feel like the proof is in who they picked. Like, I know that people are like, oh, Kawhi beat out Draymond, much to the help of the San Antonio Spurs and
a certain cornrowed fella,
Brandon Neubauer, who's I have a personal connection. He's a Twitter follower.
Oh, did not know that.
Does he have cornrows?
I know a member of his family. He did. He ended up getting cornrows because he tweeted, if we get the 12,000 votes to make it up, I'll get cornrows.
No way.
And so the San Antonio Spurs team account pushed it. So the thing is,
Fast Break Breakfast, fun fact, Chuck in high school had cornrows.
I did.
As did a certain Latvian gangbanger, Kristaps Porzingis.
Latvian, you say?
Latvian.
Don't you call Biz Latvian?
That was a shout out to
Latvian.
That was in tribute to Carmelo. That's how they bonded, apparently.
Oh, that was a Michael Rapaport reference.
Oh, was it?
Because he called him Latvian.
They did.
Oh,
yeah, that was on the Bill Simmons. That actually, if you don't listen, I respect you if you don't listen to the new Bill Simmons podcast.
Yeah.
But the one with Michael Rapaport, seek it out. Rapaport is incredible.
I don't listen to Bill Simmons podcast, but I did seek that one out. And I also listen to the Michael Rapaport podcast, which is amazing. And he somehow just finds ways to just talk about Raging Bull every single week.
Right. So
have you seen that? Have you seen Raging Bull? It's the greatest acting performance of all time.
That was perfect. But so the All-Star Game starters, I have no issue with. Like, I understand you can say Kobe, but he's a huge star. The regular guy wants to see play. Same with Dwayne Wade. Like, they did a fine job.
Right.
I think it was Jim Sheridan who covers the Warriors.
Right.
He was complaining that
I'm not surprised.
He was complaining that Twitter, he doesn't think Twitter accounts that have more than 1 million followers should be allowed to do votes and retweets, because it unduly sways the vote. The Golden State Warriors Instagram account has 3 million followers.
Right.
Grizzlies has 1,500. I'm making that. I don't know what the Grizzlies have. But
I believe you. I bought that.
I tweeted back at him vaguely trolling. Like, I also agree, as long as cities with more than 1 million people are also excluded. Like, it's always going to be a popular vote. You had the Georgian delegation pushing Zaza Pachulia, which was incredible, which is great. It actually makes, in retrospect,
Zaza almost got in there.
Then I think we would have seen changes.
Yeah, I believe so.
It would have been so funny. But I don't have any problem with it, just because, like, it worked out fine. Like, it seems to always kind of work out fine. There's never anyone started who you're just like, there's been the Yao Ming years where he didn't really play.
Vince Carter.
And then, yeah, but you're like, those are the guys people want to see play. I'm fine with the starters being that way.
I have no problem. Now, if they get into the reserves.
Exactly.
Then we got ish.
I'm all for quorum mind, you know.
Hive
group,
mind?
Hive mind group thought. I think I think it's a wonderful way.
How many years were you in the military?
To choose our leaders, especially through the electoral college.
Old lockstep Chuck.
That's me.
I like that. I like the juxtaposition of quorum and hive mind. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, I'd like to steal a segment, if I may.
Please do.
Usually Keith runs the show on this, but here we have a segment we like to call Game of Scones.
Oh, I'm a contestant?
Yeah, you are.
This is very exciting.
And I'm even going to put a colon after scones and add my own little name for this one called Get to the Line.
I actually was hoping when you said you're gonna steal a segment, you were taking another podcast segment. I was hoping you were stealing a successful segment.
That's a starter's
from,
thing.
From someone else's show.
So, in testament to, hopefully All-Star Reserve, DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
And Kobe Bryant, historically great players who could get to the line.
Okay.
The Dwayne Wades of yore.
I'm terrified.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a team, and you have to tell me what player on the team has the most free throw attempts.
This season?
This season.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you East or West, and then we're going to go through the teams, 1 through 15. I mean, and what happens is as soon as you miss three, the other guy is declared the winner.
Okay. Okay, Chuck is putting on his Game of Scones sunglasses like he do.
Chuck is the, right now, he is not the winner in Game of Scones. I'm the current champion, but Keith, this is a chance for you to surpass both and to have that 1,000% winning percentage.
I believe I'm 1-1.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
You've played in a few?
Chuck has hosted a couple of very fun Game of Scones. I believe we split those.
Keith, I'm going to let you go first, regardless, since okay. Chuck is the veteran. Would you like to start with the East or the West?
Let's go Western Conference.
Golden State Warriors.
Golden State Warriors. Actually, am I overthinking it? I'm going to say Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is correct.
All right, good.
19th in the league with 253 free throw attempts.
All right. One for Keith.
Chuck, would you like to go East or West?
East.
Oh, all right.
Your beloved Cleveland Cavaliers.
James Jones.
Wait. Come on now, Chuck.
This segment is long enough.
Free throw attempts, Chuck.
LeBron.
Correct. 12th, 283. Keith, we're lightning rounding this.
Yeah. West.
San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, this seems difficult. Mm. I will go with Kawhi Leonard.
Correct. 35th.
Almost went LaMarcus, and then remembered he just shoots 20-footers.
Mm-hmm. You bet your nuts. If you can't shoot free throws if you don't get to the rim. 35th, 182. Chuck Watt.
West.
We're going to the third-seeded Thunder.
Westbrook.
Correct. 6th with 339. Keith.
Stick me in the... I want to go back to the East.
Toronto.
Because I knew it was the Toronto Raptors. DeMar DeRozan.
Absolutely. Third.
Ha-ha, I'm playing this now.
With 360. If you don't know DeMar DeRozan's getting the line this year, you don't understand basketball.
Yep.
It's like he learned in the offseason.
All right.
Chuck Watt.
Mm-hmm. East.
Hawks.
Ooh. Ugh. Oh, it's got it. Yeah, I got it. I think I got it.
Teague.
Are steals allowed?
No.
Okay. It's probably Millsap, right?
Correct. 16th, 263.
Pick. Okay. I want to go back to the West.
Clippers.
DeAndre Jordan.
Absolutely. 7th with 331. Chuckle Hut.
West.
Staying in the Western, the Memphis Grizzlies.
I wouldn't have touched that. I'm not even sure who needs the Grizzlies. I wouldn't even touch that.
I got to go Gasol.
25th with 224.
Good job. East.
Chicago Bulls.
Jimmy Butler.
5th with 345. Chuck.
East.
Celtics.
Oh.
Welcome to hell.
Avery Bradley's missed a bunch of games. Marcus Smart's missed a bunch of games. Hey, Thomas doesn't start. Oh, my God.
Giving you 5 seconds. 4.
Evan 3. Turner.
Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas. Has 11th with 291.
And that man started every game, Chuck.
East or West? Heath?
West.
And Chuck misses one more, and he's toast.
West.
Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, I was hoping it'd be the Rockets.
The free throw amongst free throws. 5.
I guess Dirk.
3.
I don't like it, though.
The aforementioned Zaza Pachulia.
Shut up.
That's crazy that he leads them in
33rd with 184.
Free? That's crazy.
That's pretty nuts.
That's a miss for me.
West.
Chuck,
yeah, easy
if
one
you
for
miss
Chuck.
This one, you're done. Rockets.
James Harden.
Number one with 471, nearly 100 more than the next guy who has 383.
Wow.
All right. We are in the West.
Okay. Blazers.
Damian Lillard.
27th with 211. Chuck.
East.
Ah, this is your team, brother. Yeah. The Miami Heat.
Whiteside.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
You lost. I was certain he was going to say Wade and lose. This couldn't have played out better for me. He lost the game. It's Chris Bosh, 24-230. Wade, who I was certain he would say 26 with 217.
That's pretty good. That was a long game of scones, but I'm the champion.
You did
That's
it.
Right. You've taken the throne. You're a usurper.
I am the champion. That's
scone
great.
Scone usurper.
Very good. All right. That leads us, I think, to our awards segment of the evening. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. This is given to the worst performance in a box score. We try not to weight any other factors, like our personal opinions of the person, or if we watched the game and they were truly the worst.
We try.
There are many, like this.
Sometimes you're poisoned.
So honorable mention this week, we have Victor Oladipo, who I wanted to make it because against the Grizzlies,
yeah,
single-handedly seemed to lose that game for the Magic.
So beautiful.
Honorable mentions, Victor Oladipo, Josh Smith, and Frank the Foreman Kaminsky all go 1-for-10. Kemba Walker, who hit the Magic 20 missed shots on a 5-for-25 night.
Still didn't make it?
He ended up with 24 points, 8 assists, 4 boards, 4 steals.
It's Kemba Walker's year.
Kemba Walker is incredible. He's been killing it.
Against all odds.
Yeah, anyway, we have 3 nominees this week, and this is how they occurred chronologically over the last 6 days. Kristaps Porzingis.
Uh-oh.
4-for-17. 13 points, 8 boards, 2 turnovers. No blocks.
No blocks?
Derrick Rose, welcome back. 5-for-21 in a victory against the Cavaliers. Had 12 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. 21 shots, 12 points. And
didn't
then,
the line.
One night after waking up groggy after getting Zarbombed, Boogie Cousins went 4-for-21 against the Blazers.
I knew this was going to be Boogie because I got excited about his encore and watched that game. And that dude can't play back-to-back big games like that. He's not built for it.
He had no blocks, no steals, 4-for-21, 17 points, 5 boards, 4 assists.
Well, why try if they're just going to foul you out for their shot at the bar?
Listen to Chuck and his mentality.
You know,
here's the thing. That was a big game for the playoff race.
Yes.
That is two teams battling for the 8th spot and the Trailblazers. I mean, they did take advantage of them losing a soul-crushing double overtime game the night before.
As poor as Boogie's performance was, I'm going to keep in thematically with our most epic game of scones. I don't like that Derrick Rose didn't get to the stripe. That's what he's supposed to do.
He had 2 free throw attempts.
So I'm going to give it to Derrick Rose.
I'm going to go Boogie. 4-for-21 is grotesque.
Yes.
Chuck, you want to break it?
Yeah.
Boogie or D. Rose?
I understand the Boogie vote.
You normally go with the better player.
Boogie.
So you go Boogie?
Yeah, we go Boogie.
All right. Definitely the better player.
All right. Congratulations, DeMarcus Cousins.
Is that his first time?
You know, I think it is.
Hard for a big man
it's
to get in there.
For the big man to win the ice shop, but he takes it down. Stick around, by the way, for the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. We've barely mentioned the Grizzlies, mainly because it's All-Star time.
Yeah. Oh, sick burn.
Yeah. In retrospect, it's even more amazing that Mark was the starter last year.
Yeah. It's dark.
For a team that has such a small fan. I mean, Spain threw their weight behind him last year.
A little bit. Wanted a little of that Gasol versus Gasol action.
Anyway, stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue where we will break down the Grizzlies in slightly more detail. Spoiler, some of the things promised last week will not be included. All right, guys, our par fade away as we get out of here. What things are we looking forward to in the coming week? Don't say All-Star game is too far away.
Rabble on!
Yes, once again, we are rabbling.
Knicks Raptors.
It's always fun. Oh, it's going to be excited. We're hoping Bloodsport matches up with Porzingis.
Me too.
I will freak out.
And I think it's like one of the more overrated coaches in Dwayne Casey versus one of the more underrated coaches in Derek Fisher. So
I don't know how to feel about Dwayne Casey because you obviously have the horrible playoff performances.
I think if they don't have a deep playoff run, they'll still fire him.
But
despite
seems
regular
like
season success.
They're playing incredibly.
Their
defense is good.
He's just rolling the ball out there, brother.
You think so?
Absolutely.
That's controversial, perhaps. I can't refute you. I have nothing to say to refute.
I'm just watching the games. I don't think he's a good coach. I don't understand his rotations.
I've always, over the years, I always felt like their reliance on ISO ball, especially when they a lot of times had mismatches. A lot of times, in like last year, I know they'd have Amir Johnson, like a guard would be on him, but they never, maybe it's too old school to attack the mismatch. I mean, it just seemed like you get it instead of having Lou Williams take a deep shot or DeRozan take a deep shot. But
if the Warriors didn't deserve every award this year, I would give GM of the Year to Masai Ujiri. Mm-hmm. Chuck and I, while he drank an Appletini, had a conversation about what's more important, GMs and coaches, which I understand is a pretty easy conversation, but it led to us talking about just how much more important it is that you have a great GM versus a great coach.
I guess the other thing I'm looking forward to is, what is every other team in the NBA going to make their season like about? Is it just for, because it seems like the Warriors have beaten everyone by 30 now that matters.
Yeah.
I think maybe the Thunder are holding out hope that they have something, but they don't.
I really think it's affected the way the West plays when you have such a...
I think it's psyched out the whole everybody.
Right, because it was the way that it was for a long time in the East with Miami being at the top. I think when you have real competition for the number one seed in home court, everybody plays their best. But when you know that somebody has it, you're not going to do...
I guess I disagree.
You can't.
Because I don't think...
I'm an idiot.
I don't think it's psyched out Spurs. I think Pop didn't play Duncan for a reason. This is the first of their four matchups. Watching that game, I don't think Pop really showed his hand at all. Furthermore, I think the Clippers also have played the Warriors tight in all of their games. I don't think they're psyched out.
That's true.
I think the people who are psyched out are the fans who are just looking at these 30-point victories and are like, man, they just can't be touched. Whereas I think there are teams in the league that don't believe that.
Right. And it's the regular season too. You can't, right.
It's easy to get hyperbolic.
Exactly. Yeah. Which we love.
Why we're here.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. Write us an iTunes review if you don't mind. That apparently helps us out in the searches, raises us up.
5 stars or we're find you.
We are trying to catch that number 2 breakfast podcast.
Gotta get them.
Woodmont Prayer Breakfast, we're coming for you.
Say your prayers.
Very, so stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue if that's your type of thing. And thanks for listening. You guys are the best. Remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue, presented by Fan Essentials. If you aren't aware of Fan Essentials, go to fanessentials.net. It is a subscription service where you get a box filled with NBA goodies, with t-shirts and other paraphernalia. I know they have one for the Grizzlies. They have one for, I think, 6 or 7 or 8. They have several other teams. Go there now, fanessentials.net, and monthly, for a low price, you get all kinds of goodies.
In a world where gift-giving has become impossible, in the realm of Amazon Prime, and even more so Amazon Prime Now, where everyone can have whatever they want within an instant, this is still the greatest gift there is for a man.
That's right.
Or a woman.
Or dudes, just treat yourself. Go ahead and buy yourself.
That's an angle I hadn't even thought of.
If you're like most of our listeners and you're alone.
Like me.
Go ahead.
And, no one buys me gifts. My son's too young. He doesn't have a bank account yet.
There you go. All right,
I send you gifts.
But we get gifts. George Jefferson dancing.
Go to fanessentials.net. All right, the Grizzlies have only played 2 games since we were last together. It was a tale of two games. They were not pleasing games. They were not aesthetically pleasing. They were not on a deeper level.
Well, here's the deal. You couldn't even enjoy the victory because that was a Jeff Green 30-point performance.
It was a 30-point. I am on the grand scheme, the bell curve that is Grizzlies fans and their Jeff Green love, I'm at like the 55% positive. I feel like there's way more negative people. I feel like he's a great option as a backup. I get angry.
If I told you Jeff Green was going to play 31 minutes, would you have been happy?
Well, that's no.
Although, in your defense, he did play the 6th most minutes. So, essentially, he was the 6th
exactly.
Man.
So, I want him. I get angry. This is where I was even going. But I want him. Him playing the 3 is just bad.
Right.
Or him sharing the court with the clear Marc Gasol, Jamichael Green, or Zach Randolph. Anytime there's a clear 5 and 4 on the court and him, it's a nightmare. All the numbers say so. All the lineup data
really
says so.
He really should be the 4.
And hopefully the backup 4. No, he had a good game. I would say these are tough games because, I mean, the Timberwolves game, The Timberwolves have woefully underperformed. They are more talented than their terrible record.
I would categorize the loss of the Timberwolves as categorically embarrassing.
I think so. I am definitely... So, the problem is, the Grizzlies' schedule is easy now.
Yes, it is.
The Grizzlies literally had a chance to go all of February without a loss because of the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. I mean, they still do, actually. I mean, we're still in January, but they had a large stretch. Like you looked at the schedule, the games are spaced out. They're against teams that are middling. They're not those elite teams. And it's like, you could honestly see them winning every one of these games. You would assume as again, for the word middling, as the Grizzlies have been, they're probably going to be favored in all of these games. And to see them blow it against the Timberwolves where they were down. They had a chance. All of Grizzlies Twitter got so furious at the ref, the rookie ref, Tyler Ford. He had a bad end of the game. Like the last 2 minute report obviously only stated that he only missed that one call. Cause those other calls were close. And you know, it's hard to argue. I thought the other ref, Tony Brown, had the worst game earlier on, but still they were down a bunch to the Timberwolves.
Well, Tony Brown always has a rough game.
Yeah, but it's like the Grizzlies played terribly that game. It was not a matter of if your game against the Timberwolves comes down to we need this foul call to be called on Mike going for the quick two so we can get free throws and then we get a stop and then we score and hopefully tie it. Like, no, you're already lost. We've already lost it at that point. The Magic game was...
I thought they played worse in the Magic game.
They did.
And still won.
The Magic have been slumping so poorly. And that is a team... I mean, one, the Timberwolves are terrible in close games. The Magic are even worse in close games. The Magic have made an incredible...
They're the anti-Grizzlies.
I would say a magic act of blowing more two-possession leads in the last minute of the game in the last 2 years.
I believe you sent me a text when it was getting close after Elfrid Payton, by the way, of all people, right. had tied it up. He got to the rim at will, by the way. It was very irritating.
Oh, it was the worst.
Very irritating.
He doesn't shoot, and Courtney Lee kept letting him drive past him.
Courtney Lee is unintelligent.
Courtney Lee is getting sent out of town.
You sent me a text wherein you mentioned that I believe that big Vucimane, Tobias, and I can't remember who else who have all hit game.
No, like Fournier, Oladipo. Vucimane and Harris all, I believe, have multiple buzzer. They all have buzzer beaters.
And I just texted you. You haven't been watching the Magic lately, because it's not happening tonight.
I mean, Oladipo couldn't hit a shot. That saved the game,
right,
for the Grizzlies. And I don't. It was just bad.
You want to know what lost the game? Almost lost the game for the Grizzlies. Why was Diamond Rio getting like 10 minutes?
I don't know why Rio doesn't play more. That was a game that JaMychal Green, I don't think, played at all. I don't have the box score in front of me, but he was out of the rotation.
You didn't see it. Yeah.
So
Ryan Holland saw the
down
court more.
Down the stretch. They were doing it was the high post up, which I like, at least that they're just forcing it into mark. But every shot was a fadeaway.
Right.
These two teams put up like 130 points in the first half because there's no shot blockers on either team.
I do think there's some credence to this Mark needs to shoot more theory, because even though he didn't shoot that well, shot under 50%, he shot 20 shots, which opened it up for the rest of the team. Whereas in the game before, he shot an incredible, like he shot like 5 for 12, but we lost that game.
Right.
Like, Mark has to establish himself early and often as an offensive threat. You know, they have to know that when he gets it, he's probably going to shoot it. And I think that's important for the team, but if, you know, we're going to be stupid with rotations, it's not going to help anyone.
So speaking of the rotations, this is what's really driving me nuts. And part of this goes into the big picture. Like, if the Warriors are clearly, or say the Warriors or Spurs,
right,
are clearly the best.
Historically,
and even
great teams.
And even if you can, and even as a Grizzlies franchise, you can look at it and say, we're not catching the Warriors or Spurs. We're also not catching the Thunder or the Cavs.
Right.
I will say, Blake Griffin hand injury update. If the Grizzlies lose to a Blakeless Clippers team in the first round of the playoffs, I might die.
I mean,
although
you should purchase a plot.
Yeah. I would much rather that they end up facing like the Spurs in the first round.
I mean,
it
could be very bad, because my least favorite player is Paul Pierce. I think Paul Pierce will eat us alive.
You do hate Paul Pierce.
I mean, Paul Pierce in the playoffs versus the Grizzlies, with him playing that four, that could be big problems.
Here is...
So that would pull Z-Bo way out of his comfort zone.
Here is the problem.
How many
Yes.
Paul Pierce pump fakes does Z-Bo eat
Oh, speaking of pump fakes, Courtney Lee also in the Magic game was letting Alfred Payton drive right by him. In the Timberwolves game, Tayshaun Prince was eating him alive with
pump fakes. They played each other in practice.
Oh, man, the Grizzlies biting on Tayshaun pump fakes was the most demoralizing.
I know this is the Grizzlies epilogue, but if that game wasn't evidence that Shabazz Muhammad should be in the starting lineup and not Tayshaun Prince, I don't know what else to tell you.
I mean, honestly, Tayshaun played. Well, Shabazz has actually been getting run.
Right.
Finally, they're getting run. But, yeah, going to the Grizzlies. So this is a team that is going to make the playoffs and be executed.
Yes, summarily.
And I think this is
firing the squad.
Matt Moore from CBS was asking on Twitter the whole thing, like, what are teams playing for? Like, what is your team's goal because you're not winning the title?
Right.
See, I think that's so crazy because there's so many injuries left to be.
There are so many injuries left, but I still think you have to. I think this Grizzlies team, like, you're going to make the playoffs. And absolutely. I don't think, I'm not talking about sacrificing your playoff spot. The thing that's driving me crazy is the Grizzlies are the oldest team in the NBA when right. you factor in minutes, the people who are playing.
Right.
They're playing the oldest lineup in the NBA. In the Magic game, it was like all over 30 lineups almost.
That's very dichotomous.
And it was really like, why in the world?
Because the Magic are very young.
Why are we scrapping away with backups who are all like 34? Why aren't we playing James Ennis? Why aren't we playing Jermichael Green? Because
if we
play those guys, we wouldn't be much worse in the standings, and we'd at least be getting them game experience and getting better and looking towards the future.
I agree, and I don't think Jaeger's doing the right thing, but I do think there is a counterpoint, and the Grizzlies aren't exactly the reference point I'm looking for. This, like, all-young thing that the two teams we played this week, Magic and Timberwolves, that stuff isn't working either.
Well, the Timberwolves obviously have those three gray hairs, you know, the gray heads on the team.
But those guys are like truly and verily washed up.
Well, so, I mean, I don't think...
Although I guess the Timberwolves can't win without KG.
I think the difference is, so like the Spurs, obviously. The Spurs...
There's your blend.
The Spurs are the old team.
Right.
But, you know, but they're at the championship level. So they're like, yes, Rasual Butler, why don't you... You're an old veteran. Why don't you play some minutes? Yes, let's have David West. Although he's a bad example because he's good.
He's really good.
Pretty much anywhere. But it's like... But they have incorporated Jonathan Ghost Simmons, as I like to call him.
Right.
Like, Ghost Simmons he's doing great, and he's just an undrafted guy they just plugged in. Like,
D-League superstar. Like, summer league superstar.
I always wonder, like, what would James Ennis be doing if he was on the Spurs? Like, I don't know much about James Ennis, other than he's, like, a high-energy, athletic player.
Shut up. Ryan Hollins needs run.
Exactly.
When does Brandon Wright come back?
Never.
Man,
Adams plays,
we have two Dallas Mavericks sleeper agents on our team.
That makes soulless lemons. I don't know what the lemon laws are in Dallas. I feel like we should take them back.
Yeah, those odometers got ticked back.
We've talked about this before, but I know the guys are like Jordan Adams is hurt and Brandon Wright's hurt, but I don't know why we're not at least on the backup units giving James Ennis run over Vince
Green
Carter.
Should play constantly.
Jermichael Green should be getting, because we got to see what's there, and I really don't think. And we said this before. I don't think there's any difference. If you split up Jeff Green's minutes between Jermichael Green and James Ennis, the Grizzlies' record will not change.
I agree.
It might be better.
I have a little insight on James Ennis. Didn't get a lot of play in Miami.
Right.
And from what I heard, it's because he was bad.
Right. Not great.
Right. So, but yeah, the question is, when does development occur? And
sure.
Does development occur in practice, or does development occur on,
Vince,
on the court?
We are 120 games in of Vince Carter shooting 30%.
Right.
Year and a half in.
Yeah.
I don't think that ankle's coming around.
No. It's janky.
I don't think that chopper's coming around. No. We got a couple years evidence. I would just see, you got to look towards the future. And I will say, my apology to you Grizzlies fans. Last week we teased we'd have some trades. Some theoretical middling trades that might at least get you somewhat excited.
But because, my game of scones was 17 minutes long.
Yeah, and because we ended up moving the podcast up a day,
and that's why Keith runs the game of scones.
Yeah, so we'll do that.
What's going to happen to the Grizzlies epilogue eventually? It's just going to turn into just a funeral dirge playing,
yeah.
Like the whole just the grinding and gnashing of teeth.
Hey. When we trade Jeff Green for Markieff Morris, everything changes. Hell, we don't even have to trade Jeff Green to get Markieff Morris. We get him for a bag of rock salt.
I will say this should, to close up the Grizzlies epilogue, and this would have been a good par fadeaway for the regular part of the episode, trade season is brewing. Mm-hmm. Like the Jeff Teague rumors are falling out of the sky, and
that's
going
to be a
the
big,
Al Horfords, and
that's going to be a big mistake by Atlanta too.
There's a lot of
Dennis Schroeder really clogs that team up. He's a little ball hog,
right? There's a lot of teams there's a lot of teams that are a mess right now that want to make moves. The Magic are a team that have a lot of.
If Teague goes to the Knicks, Knicks are my team in the East. Sorry, Chuck. Goodbye, Heat.
That'd be really good for him.
There are several teams where you're like, oh, Teague, there, that's great. Teague is really good.
Teague's really good. Playoff Teague. Get to a playoff team, young sir.
Exactly. All right. We've transitioned to Atlanta Hawk talk. That lets us know it's time to get out.
Let's get out of here.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. You're the best. You guys have a good one.
Arrive safely.